75. From the stages and studios, producers and playwrights of the world, we bring you the week's finest radio entertainment in Playhouse 75. Tonight, A Case of Checkmate was written by South African writer Ron Evans. After finishing the writing of his latest novel, the internationally famous author Mortimer Wiley dabbles in a slice of real-life sleuthing, although strictly from the comfort of his well-padded armchair, just like playing chess. Mortimer's best friend, Captain Dirk Van Zyl, tells him of a puzzling case of burglary which is currently troubling him. Between slices of cheesecake, cream bun, and strong coffee, Mortimer plays his game with people, using his secretary and his nephew to do the more energetic work. This story, in the classic tradition, will keep you chuckling and intrigued all the way to the final denouement. Act One of A Case of Checkmate.
Will you have another brandy, Captain?
Is that a ploy to make me hurry the next move?
And make a fatal mistake? As it could be.
I know your tricks, Mortimer Wiley. You were well named.
By a loving father who knew I would grow up just like him. You know, Captain, there are only two moves you can possibly make. And both spell disaster.
No, I don't see it. There. How's that? You can't touch me there.
Ah, you obviously have forgot my bishop lurking over here in the corner.
Oh, I should have known.
I suppose we can call that checkmate. Over and out.
I knew your chatter would distract me. That's all five games to you, as usual. I don't know why I come here to Wiley's lair to eat unhealthy food and get soundly thrashed at chess.
Because you want me to ghostwrite your casebook one day, when you retire, of course.
That's an idea. Yes, Mortimer, that's an excellent idea.
We'll talk about it sometime. It'll be a change for me. Putting out a minimum of 4 mystery novels a year can get somewhat tedious.
I know it keeps your bank manager very cheerful. Excuse my being personal, but I did read a few weeks ago that you're the 4th most widely read contemporary author.
Yes, my agent in London wrote me something to that effect. Like one more game?
No, thank you. The result would be a foregone conclusion, and I must leave in 10 minutes. I want to talk with one of my men about a case that's puzzling me.
Yeah.
I said I'd be there at 10, and it'll take the best part of 30 minutes to drive back into Johannesburg.
What's the puzzle, Captain?
It's just a simple case of burglary. And please, Mortimer, stop calling me Captain all the time. Other times you call me by my Christian name.
It's because you're wearing uniform this evening. Makes me feel like being formal. I'd still like to know what is puzzling you about the burglary.
Are you thinking of sticking your nose into it?
It might afford me a little relaxation. I'll be finishing my latest book tomorrow, and a few days of sleuthing might do me some good.
A burglary is hardly in your line.
If you haven't got a juicy murder on hand, a burglary will do. So stop being cagey, Dirk. Tell me all about it.
Well, there isn't much time now. What I'll do is, I'll send you over a file on the case first thing in the morning. In one of these days, I'll be getting myself into hot water doing things like this. You know that, don't you?
You never tire of telling me. But when I break the case for you, who gets the credit? Captain Dirk Van Zyl, of course.
I'd break the case in the end, Mortimer.
But you know, I can be a lot quicker. And in a murder case, that can save lives.
Anyway, this is an old and futile argument, so let's drop it, shall we? The file will be here at about 9.
Excellent. In that event, I'll have young Roland here for orders around midday. I should have finished dictating the last two chapters for Sicily by then.
Heavens, look at the time. I don't like being a bad example to my men by being late.
I'll come with you to the door.
Are you quite sure your heart will stand the strain of moving your tremendous bulk that far?
I've been dieting. Just a little. But I can stroll in the garden for an hour every day.
Dieting you may be, but I can't say you're looking any slimmer.
A month ago, I was 320 pounds. Now I'm only 300.
I still wouldn't like you to trip over me.
I've squashed bigger men than you, Dirk. Before you race off, tell me what puzzles you about this notary.
You'll see it in the file tomorrow. It's just a matter of motivation. Samuel Shaw, one of the city's financiers, was burgled two nights ago. Over a quarter of a million rands worth of jewelry was stolen from his home. He'd gone out with his wife for a drive and a breath of fresh air on the spur of the moment. Only one person knew he'd gone. An employee. Michael Pearson. And this man Pearson had left the house only minutes before, having been sacked for inefficiency by Shaw. He must have returned after the Shaws left and done the job. It was obviously the work of an amateur.
You still haven't told me what is puzzling you.
Well, it's this. Shaw suggested the culprit was Pearson the following morning. He told me about dismissing him and that Pearson did the burglary out of revenge as well as for profit. He added that Pearson was in deep water financially.
And?
After checking, we found that Pearson has no money troubles. There's not just that bothering me. You see, it doesn't seem to fit in with Pearson's character to commit a burglary for revenge. He's more the type to kick a man's teeth in and regret it a few minutes later.
Surely you're not holding this Pearson just on sure suspicion?
No. Yesterday afternoon, Pearson's flat was searched. The pearl earring was recovered. And this was part of the stolen collection, according to the typewritten list given to me by Shaw. Naturally, Pearson denied ever having seen the earring before.
Very sticky for him.
Anyway, you can read up the rest tomorrow. You'd have me here all night telling you stories.
You'll have to when I start ghosting up your casebook.
Good morning, Mortimer.
Morning, Cecily. Is all yesterday's work ready to be checked over?
Yes, it's on your desk.
Oh, well, I suppose we'd better get straight into those last two chapters and leave the checking till later.
Are you switched on? Mentally, I mean.
You ask me that every morning, and you know very well that I'm not. At this moment, I can't even remember what the book's about, let alone remember what we wrote yesterday.
Shall I tell Esme to bring in a gallon or two of coffee?
She's already planning to do that without your prompting.
Clever, the way that girl reads your mind.
I wish you could. It would save me the effort of opening and closing my mouth when I'm dictating.
How do you intend switching yourself on this morning? Phone Captain Finzale at his office and play telephone chess with him like yesterday morning?
No, he sometimes gets a bit huffy when I do that, especially when he's busy. We'll have a game, you and I.
Oh, you know what a terrible player I am. Play Esme when she brings in the coffee. She's better at it.
It's not who I play that matters, because I'm sure to win. But I need to play in order to switch on my mind, as you know. Well, come on, then. The men are laid out, ready to go.
Very well. I want to play white, though.
Fine. 30 seconds a move. Esme. I thought you'd gone all the way to the plantation to pick your own coffee beans.
It is bad for you, Mr. Wiley. You mustn't have so much.
What is? Coffee or chess?
Coffee. My mother said
yes,
that coffee is...
Yes, Esme, your mother must have been a wonderful person. But pour it out for me, just as though she'd never said what you were about to tell me.
One day it will kill you.
Meanwhile, I'll carry on drinking it. You might pass me that large envelope you brought in with the tray.
Oh, yes, sir. A messenger brought it.
Thank you. Just put the cup there. No, not on those papers. Oh, that's right. Now, trot off and organize me one of your special delicacies for lunch.
Certainly, Mr. Wiley.
She's a treasure, that girl.
Pretty, too. I just wish she wouldn't nag so much about what I eat and drink. She's probably the best cook in Joburg, yet she expects me to leave half of everything. It's deliberate cruelty. Now, what is this?
Looks like a folder to me. Weren't you expecting it?
Oh, I don't know. It's from Dirk from Sale. Something about a burglary case.
Oh, maybe he's expecting you to help him out in it.
A burglary case? Must be out of his mind.
Perhaps he mentioned it to you last night.
Was he here last night? Oh, yes, I suppose he was.
He's hardly likely to send you that unless you asked for it. Well, let's play this game and get you switched on. You remember it, then?
I'm waiting for you, Cicely. You're white, remember, and white always moves first.
You never forget how to play chess, do you?
It's the only key I have to remembering everything else.
Hello, Esme. My, you look gorgeous even in the kitchen.
Oh, you're embarrassing me with your flattery, Mr. Roland.
Actually, I'm here to see Uncle Mortimer. He rang me an hour ago.
Oh, he's in the study with Miss Cicely. They're finishing a book. It was very late when they started.
His usual lapse of memory.
Yes. One pot of coffee and two games of chess with Miss Cicely before he could start.
His mind's as lazy as his body.
Not when he, what do you call it?
He calls it switching on.
Oh, yes, when he's switched on. Mr. Wiley is very, very clever.
Yes, and don't I know it. What have you made for lunch, Esme? It smells marvelous.
It hasn't got a name. Oh, you're having lunch with your uncle?
You bet. That's the major fringe benefit in calling here to do his dirty work for him. Well, I hope this time he'll be able to remember why he called me. The last time, it took 15 minutes of question and answer, plus a discourse on the death of Socrates, before he finally tumbled.
Can I tell in your ear?
Not yet. I'd much rather watch you domesticating than Uncle Mortimer dictating.
Max gently pulled back the curtain and for a moment watched the two men at the table. He wondered whether he should give them a chance to surrender. Then remembered the bodies of their victims. The men they had so cruelly murdered in cold blood. He cut them both down with four shots. For a moment he waited, listening. Then Max stepped into the room and surveyed his handiwork. He picked up the telephone receiver and dialed Fletcher. It's over, Dan. You'd better drive over here and clean up the mess.
Well, is that it?
I'm writing a novel, not an encyclopedia. I'm not adding another syllable.
I shan't argue. Shall we check it over? Yesterday's too?
No, I'll leave that to you. If you miss anything, Jim Rogers will pick it up when he's subbed.
Jim will be able to let me have it back by Wednesday, and I'll have the publisher's copy ready by Monday.
Good girl. You can fly to London on Tuesday and hand it over.
I'll fix up that business about royalties while I'm there. Oh, yes, and see the tax people.
You can tell Harrison that he can expect the next manuscript towards the end of July. Oh, well, I think I'll go and lie down for a while.
Hey, don't switch off yet, Mortimer.
No, I have. Why, what's wrong?
You haven't had lunch yet.
Oh, yes, so I haven't.
And when you remembered about the burglary case, you phoned Roland. He should be here any time now.
Roland? Burglary? Oh, yes, it's beginning to filter back again. Oh, I suppose I'll have to see him when he comes.
If I know Roland, he won't miss lunch.
Are you going to stay and join me?
No, thanks. I better take the stuff to Jim so he can get on with it. He's very efficient, but slow.
Good afternoon, Uncle Mortimer.
Ah, Roland, how nice to see you. To what do we owe the pleasure of this visit?
Oh, no, not again.
Don't look so worried, Roland. He's only kidding you this
time. You spoilt it, Cicely. Oh, never mind. Listen, Roland, I want to talk to you about a burglary.
Burglary? You mean you want me to do one?
Do I? I'm not sure, but... Well, I really must read that file again. Anyway, my boy, whatever it is, I want you to do it.
If I had a plastic bag handy, I'd take some of this home for supper. It is stupendous.
You say that every time you have a meal here.
I suppose I do. Well, now that we've gone through the captain's file and we know what it's all about, what do you want me to do?
And what's in it for you?
Yes, that is another important consideration.
How is the acting profession been treating you, Roland? Profitable?
It's rarely that. 2 weeks ago, I was in a play, but it folded after 3 days.
Keep trying, my boy. One day you'll make it. Meanwhile, it would seem that I'm still your major source of income. How much do you need?
Well, doesn't that depend on what I have to do?
If it takes less than a week, I'll give you $1,000. How's that?
Oh, that is very generous.
It's worth it to me to crack a case before Death and Sales boys do. It boosts my ego, enhances my reputation in his eyes, and gives me plenty to think about in between books. In fact, if we can make it inside of a week, and we prove this Pearson fellow innocent, I'll increase your fee to $1,500.
Marvelous. Let's make a start.
I want you to lay a few rands around some of your shady underworld friends to see if any of their jewelry has been offloaded to a fence. There's a photostat copy of Shaw's original list in the file. You can take that. It describes each item very well. Then I'll contact Cicely to make a check on Shaw's financial position. She's got the right commercial contacts for that.
Don't you mean Pearson's financial status? Uncle, you're starting to switch off.
I'm not, Roland. I mean Shaw's financial status.
I don't get it. Are you suggesting he did the burglary himself, or say, for the insurance?
Isn't it a possibility? After all, we must explore every avenue.
But Shaw's a wealthy man.
On paper. You see, the night of the burglary, he called Pearson to his house to discuss a business matter. Why? From what I can see, it wasn't so urgent. Therefore, why call out an employee at 9 in the evening to discuss it?
Maybe he's one of those types who work round the clock.
I'll concede that. But what about the argument they had? It was contrived. Shaw went out of his way to antagonize Pearson, and when the man reacted angrily, he sacked him.
Well, Shaw could have been planning to sack him for some time. I mean, when Pearson got angry, made it easier.
No, Roland. Shaw and Pearson were close friends right up until last week. Then something happened to sour relations between them.
Then, in the middle of their argument, Shaw tells his wife to get ready. They're going out for a drive.
Exactly. Isn't that rather an odd thing to do in the middle of an argument? Shaw claims that 10 minutes after Pearson went, he and his wife drove away and he noticed a car similar to Pearson's 100 yards up the road.
Did Mrs. Shaw see it?
Oh, she didn't say so in her statement, but we'll worry about her later. Like the captain, I'm worried about Pearson behaving so out of character. He's a quick-tempered man. Yet this robbery was done coolly and with premeditation.
And Pearson knew the combination to the safe where the jewelry was kept. He'd probably been going in there for years because Shaw kept numerous business documents in there, too.
Which means he could have stolen that jewelry long ago. But he didn't. And why? Because Pearson is essentially an honest man.
Revenge?
Why steal $250,000 in jewelry just out of revenge? Easier to burn down the house or sabotage the business. No, Roland, it doesn't fit. I'll lay my medieval ivory chess set against a rusty paperclip that Pearson didn't do it.
And I just happen to have a rusty paperclip handy. And I've always admired your chess set, Uncle Mortimer.
Mr. Wiley's residence.
Oh, hello there. Gentleman Lanier. Can I speak to Mr. Wiley, please?
Oh, it's just a moment, Captain. Mr. Wiley. Mr. Wiley, please wake up. Mr. Wiley.
What is it? What do you want? Why? Oh, yes, your Esme, yes, of course.
Captain Van Zyl wants to speak to you.
He does? Oh, tell him to come in.
On the phone, sir.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, thanks for it. Hello, who's there?
You sound rough, Mortimer. Been sleeping.
Oh, it's you, Dirk.
I thought I'd give you the latest on this burglary case.
What burglary case?
No, Mortimer, do we have to go into that again? I sent you a file this morning.
Oh, yes. It's all coming back to me now. Give me a chance. I don't suppose you fancy a game of chess right now?
I was waiting for that. Sorry, Mortimer, I'm far too busy.
Oh, all right. What is it you want to tell me?
I've had to release Pearson for lack of evidence.
Pearson? He's the chief suspect, if I remember rightly. Oh, yes. Last night you said you were certain he was the culprit, even though he puzzled you.
That's it. You're remembering now.
Right, I'm almost there. What went wrong? The earring you found in his flat is almost enough evidence to convict him.
That's the problem. This afternoon, Shaw's wife came to me and told me she'd given a pair of earrings to Pearson. She doesn't want her husband to know about it for obvious reasons.
How very odd. Why should a woman give a man a pair of earrings?
She was planning to ditch Shaw and go away with Pearson. The idea had been to pass him on bits of jewelry from time to time in a way that her husband wouldn't notice. Then, when they'd got enough, they were to go overseas together. Anyway, that's Pearson's story.
That would lift all the suspicion off Pearson, since he was going to get most of the jewelry anyway. That's a rusty paperclip I won.
No,
nothing. I was just ruminating. So now your investigation is back to square one.
Yes. We're checking all pawn shops and jewelers there. Have you done anything?
Nothing conclusive. Roland's in town making a few inquiries. I'll let you know who the burglar is sometime tomorrow, if that's all right with you.
I wish I had your optimism.
You could, if you had my brain. I've never let you down before, Dirk, have I? Well, that's a promise. One burglar, dead or alive, before midnight tomorrow.
Where do you mean that?
Naturally. In return for him, or her, you can send me a file on your most recent unsolved murder. Burglaries are just too easy.
All right, Mortimer. That's a deal.
Well, I may arrange a little dinner party tomorrow evening.
Taking an interest in your garden, Uncle Mortimer?
Yes, I thought a spot of sunshine would do me good. I was having a nap when the captain called me on the phone about... something or other. After that, I couldn't sleep.
Was it concerning the burglary?
No, I think so. Anyway, I made a note of it. Tell me, Roland, wouldn't you say the two aloes in a palm tree look out of place in a Tudor garden?
That is an understatement.
Well, I can't disguise them, so they'll have to go. I'll have to tell Aesop.
Aesop?
The gardener, quite a character. Tells me all sorts of moralistic stories about his tribal history. Hence why I call him Aesop.
Yes, I thought there'd be some sort of your curious logic involved.
Well, now you've beaten about the bush, so to speak. Tell me what you found out.
It was easy. I saw old Cobus, and he made a couple of phone calls. Take a look at this.
Oh, beautiful. It's the twin to the earring found in Pearson's flat. Good work, Roland.
It was sold to a fence, Rudy Fenter, by a man called Andre Mika. I put a bit of pressure on Fenter to lend me this, of course. He wasn't keen to let it go, having paid Mika 500 for it.
Well, the gems alone are worth 10 times that sum. Now you'll have to find out something on Andre Mika. Who is he? What he does?
I've already done that. And surprise, surprise, Mika works for Shaw. Mm. And he's got a criminal record. Fraud, intimidation, and
burglary.
Excellent, Roland. You're paying your way. What does Meeker do in Shaw's employ?
Assistant accountant. And Pearson is, as you know, chief accountant.
Hmm. I wonder, did Shaw know of Meeker's criminal record when he gave him the job? Roland, I want Meeker here for a talk. Can you get him?
He might be a little difficult.
Oh, you know how to persuade people. Tell him it's a matter of life and death. His own, of course, something like that. Meanwhile, Cicely will have reported in with her findings. Bring Meeker here about 7, say. We'll have a drink and a chat. Perhaps even play chess.
You're awake.
Of course I'm awake. I've just come in from admiring my beautiful landscaped garden. What are you here for? Aren't you supposed to be typing up the publisher's copy of my manuscript?
Please, Mortimer, don't waste time with your absent-minded routine now. I simply refuse to play chess to switch you on.
All right, Cicely. What have you discovered? I hope it's as juicy as the things Roland found out.
You'll be pleased.
Well, I can tell by that triumphant grin on your face. Well, out with it.
These are photostats of some of Shaw's business dealings. Now, if you look at them...
Not now, dear. Just give me the meat of them.
Shaw is flat broke.
Interesting.
More than that. In 2 weeks' time, he's going to find himself owing 1.5 million rands.
Tell me, would his accountants know about this?
He could guess. You see, Shaw's an accountant himself, and some of his dicey deals never went through his office.
These deals, the dicey ones, were they legal?
Yes, but only just. Some of them have come unstuck, though, and that's what's queered his pitch.
And all these bits of paper back up what you say?
Conclusively.
Very good. Everything is fitting nicely into place. I want you to call on Mrs. Shaw. Have a chat with her about the burglary. Take my mini-tape recorder and get it down. You know every word. When she's finished talking, suggest that she's having an affair with Pearson. See what her reaction is to that.
You old devil. Was she having an affair with him?
It seems very likely. If you run off and see her now, you'll catch her before her husband comes home. Oh, and get a sample from her typewriter.
The way this is going, I'll never have the manuscript finished by Tuesday.
Nonsense, of course you will. Oh, and by the way, tell Mrs. Shaw you're from a newspaper. I don't want my name involved as yet. Well, have lots of fun, dear, and report straight back to me.
Go on in. There's nothing to be scared of.
Oh, you're Mr. Meeker, I presume.
Yes, but what's all this about? May I introduce you to my famous uncle, Mortimer Wiley?
Hello. I think I've heard of your name before.
Oh, I most certainly hope so, Mr. Meeker. Look around you at my bookshelves. Perhaps they'll give you a clue.
Ah, got it. You're Mortimer Wiley, the author. I've read a lot of your books.
Correct. You may now take a seat.
Thank you.
Roland, tell Esme to bring in coffee and a selection of those delicious cream cakes she made this afternoon. Yes, you really must try one, Mr. Meeker. My housekeeper is a truly wonderful confectioner.
Listen, why have I been forced to come here, eh?
Forced, Mr. Meeker?
That nephew of yours isn't a man to be argued with, is he?
He's really a most friendly chap, though sometimes overzealous. I asked him merely to invite you here to enjoy my hospitality and answer one or two rather puzzling questions for me.
What kind of questions?
Esme says she'll bring in the goodies in a few minutes.
Ah, good. Close the door, please, Roland. And before I ask my questions, Mr. Meeker, I'd strongly advise you to be more than frank with me. And bear in mind that we know most of the answers already.
Now, look here, Wiley. I don't have to answer anything I don't want to, eh?
In which case, we shall draw our own conclusions.
No,
ones which certainly won't be in your favor.
Now,
please don't say anything now. Just listen to my first question. As you are employed by Samuel Shaw Financial Enterprises, does Mr. Shaw know of your criminal record?
What do you mean, criminal record? How dare you?
You heard the question. Answer it.
I refuse.
I shall assume Mr. Shaw does. Now, on to my next question.
Hey, wait a minute.
Is something wrong?
Well, give me a chance to explain.
But you refused to a few seconds ago. Carry on if you think it'll help.
When I first started working there last year, I kept it a secret. Later, Mr. Shaw found out and sent for me. He said it didn't matter so long as I'd learnt my lesson and was loyal to him.
Didn't he perhaps suggest that loyalty to him was more important than honesty?
I don't understand what you mean by that.
Did he say that you would be useful should he want something dishonest done in the future?
What are you getting at?
I'm trying to establish why he chose you to burgle his house for him, that's all.
Are you saying that... Are you suggesting
that... I'm stating a fact, not suggesting anything. We know you did the burglary.
You can't prove that.
No, but I can, my dear fellow.
Who do you think you are?
The name is Mortimer Wiley, and we were introduced earlier. Oh, dear me, your memory must be as bad as mine is.
Now, wait a minute.
Stay seated, Mika, and listen to what my uncle has to say.
You sold a pearl and diamond earring for 500 rands to Ruby Fenter. That is a fact. It was one of the stolen items. That is another fact. Now, my guess is that Samuel Shaw gave you those earrings to plant in Pearson's flat where they would be found by the police. You thought it would be a terrible waste and planted only one. Oh, dear, very greedy of you, Mr. Meeker.
Silly thing to do, wasn't it, Meeker?
All right. If you know the facts, what's the point in arguing? Shaw did tell me I'd be useful at some time in the future. Last week he called me in and outlined a plan. I had to agree to do it or lose my job. I suppose you know what it's like for an ex-convict to get a decent job.
I accept that. You were put in a very difficult position by your employer. Did Shaw explain why he wanted his house burgled and the jewelry taken?
He said he had an overseas buyer for him. And on top of that, he needed the insurance money.
To do a moonlight flit?
I expect so. He burned his fingers in a big property deal. If he's not out of South Africa within the next few days, he'll be in big trouble. The jewels and the insurance money were his nest egg, so to speak.
What was to be your cut?
10,000 once he was safely out of the country.
Are you willing to testify this in a court of law?
Now, wait a minute. That would give me a lot of problems.
Oh, yes. I should have told you. Our entire conversation since you entered this room has been recorded.
I protest. You gave me the impression that what I said was in the strictest confidence.
Now, don't alarm yourself unduly. Think about it, Mr. Meeker. The cat's out of the bag. You can only do yourself a lot of harm by being difficult. Oh, coffee and cream cakes at last. After you've partaken, you'll see the wisdom of my words. I am on a strict diet for obvious reasons, but I can't see what harm a few cream cakes can do a man.
The following classic Springbok Radio commercial comes to you with the courtesy of the Springbok Radio Preservation Society of South Africa.
Today, change to the confidence oils from Mobil.
Mobil motor oils exceed the warranty requirements of every leading car manufacturer in the world. That's confidence.
And they carry the SABS mark of approval. That's confidence.
Mobil motor oils are right for your car. Change to them today with confidence.
Motor with Mobil and smile, smile. Motor with Mobil and smile.
Von Zyl here.
Hello, Dirk. Got the chess set out on your desk?
Not a chance, Mortimer. What are you doing up so early in the morning? It's only 9 o'clock.
I went to bed early last night to think things over. What's happening at your end? Found the burglar yet?
I'm following a new line of inquiries.
How exciting. What is it?
I'm working on the assumption that this could have been a conspiracy between Pearson and Shaw's wife. I got the impression that they could have been having an affair.
Yes, I think that was obvious. But I think you're looking at it from the wrong end.
I suppose you've got it all solved.
As a matter of fact, I have. And the evidence to go along with it.
Now, look, Mortimer, we're the best of friends and all that, but I'm very busy, and this is no time for jokes. It is a joke, isn't it, Mortimer?
I can explain it better at dinner this evening. Can you be here around... seven?
Are you joking, Mortimer?
I'm not, Dirk, and I'll prove it to you tonight. I'll have some guests here.
Well, I hope it won't be like the last dinner party you invited me to.
Why? What was wrong with it?
You specialize in bringing together people of different beliefs and attitudes. It was very embarrassing. What on earth made you think I could get along with an ex-convict? And Bishop Morley would get along with a striptease dancer. And that banker, Charles Hartley, would be able to enjoy the company of a professional gambler. No, Mortimer. It was a terrifying experience.
It won't be that kind of a dinner, I promise you. It'll be very enlightening and is certain to enhance your prestige. You can't afford to miss it, Dirk.
Did you say seven?
Yes, cocktails at seven, followed by dinner, coffee and liqueurs, and then you'll make your arrest.
In the true tradition of one of your mystery story heroes. It doesn't work out in real life, you know.
The sour grapes, Dirk. You said that in the silk scarf case. Oh, yes, also the time we caught Tom Brislow, if you remember.
You were lucky on those occasions.
And I'll be lucky this time. See you at seven.
Very well. Till seven.
Do you still want me to continue our inquiry, sir?
Well, you overheard the conversation, Lieutenant.
Couldn't you help it, sir? Mr. Wiley does talk rather loudly.
I see. Well, you'd better continue, even if it is just for the sake of appearances. And before you go, have two patrol cars and four men stationed on the road near Mr. Wiley's house just after seven, will you?
Very good, sir.
You've made an excellent job of it, Cicely. This is the entire content of the tape you've typed up?
Word for word. I stopped recording when Sam Shaw arrived home. He was in a foul mood. And when he heard I was from a newspaper, he ordered me out of the house.
Any reaction from Mrs. Shaw to that?
No, she just sat there glaring sullenly at him. There's no love lost between them. Oh, and as you can see in the transcript, she admits to having an affair with Pearson.
Well, I don't know whether you've spotted it, Cicely, but one of the things Mrs. Shaw told you seems to tie the case up beautifully.
Mm-hmm. What's that?
If you haven't seen it, I'll keep it to myself as the coup de grace. Meanwhile, I'll have to think up a very convincing excuse to invite the Shaws for dinner. Any ideas?
Sam Shaw strikes me as being something of a snob. All out to make an impression.
We could trade on that.
That's what I was thinking. He'd be sure to have heard of you.
I most certainly hope so.
Oh, here's his office number. A private direct line that bypasses his secretary.
Here goes, then. Mortimer Wiley speaking. I'm sure you've heard of me.
Mortimer Wiley? You mean the writer?
The very same. There's a matter I'd like to talk over. Are you free this evening?
I can make myself free. What is it you want to talk about?
Well, I've a large amount of capital lying idle in my bank accounts here and in England. You were strongly recommended by a friend who told me you could assist me in making a number of lucrative short-term investments, preferably in property.
I can certainly do that, Mr. Wiley. Who is this friend?
Oh, I doubt if you all remember him, but we can discuss this in detail later. Would you care to join me at my place for dinner? And your wife, of course.
Yes, thank you.
time would suit you?
About 7 would be just right.
If you could tell me the extent of your intended investment, perhaps I could work out a few facts and figures and bring them with me.
Please do, by all means. Let me see. Here in South Africa, I have about 250,000 available. And England, shall we say, £95,000. If you can find something I can get into and out of within 2 years, I'll be interested.
I already have the very thing in mind, Mr. Wiley. Something that could give you at least 75% on your equity in 12 months.
Sounds just what I'm looking for, Mr. Shaw. I'll give you my address. Number 8, Ormond Crescent. Have you got that?
Number 8, Ormond Crescent. Yes, I'll find it all right.
Good. I'll see you at 7. Thank you and goodbye. Hook, line, and sinker. But I'd say he's more of a businessman than a social climber. Right now, I'll bet he's working out a way of relieving me of my money in time for his moonlight flit.
I've read and reread my transcription, and I still can't find this conclusive piece of evidence. Well, the coup de grace, you prefer
well,
to call
there,
it.
Well, it's there, dear. You can be sure of that. Now, be an angel and go and tell Esme not to be mean with the sherry in the trifle. Last time I could barely taste it.
You have a wonderful cook, Mr. Wiley.
I let her indulge herself in her hobby.
Which is what? Cooking, of course.
Oh, you're lucky, Mr. Wiley. I have to watch everything that happens in my kitchen. I took on a new cook once. And the first day, she tried to boil water by putting the electric kettle in the oven.
About this money you want to invest, Mr. Wiley, I've worked out
please,
a plan.
Please, Mr. Shaw, if you don't mind, I never discuss business over a good meal unless it is urgent. We've plenty of time. Do you do any work, Mrs. Shaw? Or have you an interesting hobby?
Well, I don't like saying... Not in front of a famous writer like yourself.
Ah, you are a writer too.
Oh, I'd love to be. But so far I haven't succeeded in having anything published.
You must keep trying, Mrs. Shaw. If you have the talent, you'll succeed in the end. It's a hard apprenticeship.
Was it for you, Mortimer?
I counted over 300 rejection slips before I sold my first short story. It's persistence and determination that sorts out the budding professionals from the amateurs.
I've already collected a small mound of rejection slips.
I keep at it. Regard each one as a rung up the ladder.
I was quite surprised to meet you here, Captain. Was it you who recommended me to Mr. Wiley?
Well,
he's coy about it. Yes, we were talking about it the night before last.
Yes, of course we were.
Thank you anyway, Captain. It was very good of you. I suppose I also have the burglary to thank for bringing us together.
We are getting dangerously close to business again. Tell us about one of your interesting cases, Dirk. One that I don't know about.
Is there one? Well, let me see. Maybe I didn't tell you about the wheel spanner murder that happened in Cape Town.
Well, you excelled yourself tonight, Esme.
Thank you, sir. Is there anything else?
No, nothing. Is the coffee already in the lounge?
Yes, sir.
Well, shall we retire to the lounge?
Yes,
by all means.
May I introduce you to my nephew, Roland, and Miss Cicely Knight, who I think you've met.
How do you do?
You? The newspaper woman?
My secretary and business manager, in fact. She also does some research for me. Roland is an actor, but he helps me out on occasions, too.
She said last night she worked for a newspaper.
Pour out the coffee, please, Cicely. A liqueur, Mrs. Shaw.
Cherry brandy, please.
Dirk, Mr. Shaw.
Cool for me, Mortimer.
I'll have a cherry brandy like Margot. And then perhaps you'll explain to me, Mr. Wiley, why you sent this woman to my house to pry.
Take a seat and make yourselves comfortable. Then I'll be only too happy to explain the real reason why I invited you and your wife here.
I take it was not to discuss the possibility of an investment, then.
I do make certain investments, certainly, Mr. Shaw. However, at the moment, I'm more interested in the alleged burglary at your home.
What do you mean, alleged?
Oh, there was a burglary. but done at your own instigation.
How dare you suggest such a thing? I'm getting out of here. Come on, Margot.
I'd strongly advise you to sit down and hear Mr. Wiley out, for your own sake.
Is that a threat?
Advice, Mr. Shaw.
Mortimer, please hurry up and get to the point. You know very well you can't hold Mr. and Mrs. Shaw here against their will.
I wouldn't think of it. But if Mr. Shaw leaves, we can only conclude the worst. Isn't that right, Mr. Shaw?
Listen to what he has to say, Sam. It can't do any harm.
I enjoyed the meal, Wiley, but now I want to leave. So will you do us all a favor and get to the point?
Cicely, will you pass me the file?
Here it is.
Thank you, my dear. I have here a number of photostats that will prove that you are not only insolvent, but will very shortly be owing several million rand.
That's a lie. Where did you get hold of those?
That is beside the point. Take them, please, Dirk.
Right.
A certain assistant accountant in your employ by the name of Meeker, who has a criminal record, was coerced by you to commit the robbery. But first, you put Pearson into a compromising situation so that it would appear he was the culprit. But Meeker was greedy. The pair of valuable earrings you instructed him to plant in Pearson's flat were too much of a temptation. He planted only one and sold the other. Here it is. Take it, Dirk.
This is a pack of lies. Don't believe a word he says, Captain Fonsale.
I only believe solid evidence.
Give me number one tape, Cicely.
Oh,
thank you. This is a tape recording of Meeker's confession. There is also a typewritten transcript of it, signed by him. For you, Dirk.
Thank you. Keep this up and I'll be needing a suitcase.
You, Mr. Shaw, were preparing to cash all the assets in the business, sell your wife's jewelry, and claim insurance on them, then disappear overseas.
You can't prove that, Wiley.
You decided to kill two birds with one stone. You found out your wife had been having an affair with Pearson, which is why you set him up as the prime suspect.
You're imagining all this. What proof have you got, other than the word of a cheap little crook like Meeker?
On tape number two here, I have your wife's admission of the affair with Pearson.
What? Is that right, Margot?
Yes, Sam, it's quite right. In fact, Mike and I were going to take the jewels ourselves and leave you. After all, they are mine.
So that was the plan, I see.
This second tape contains even more important evidence than your wife's infidelity, Mr. Shaw.
After what she's just told me, I can take anything.
When Cicely was with Mrs. Shaw, your good wife told her of her literary ambitions. I had told Cicely to get a sample of print from your typewriter. But when Cicely asked if she could type a quick note to drop off at a friend's house, Mrs. Shaw told her that she couldn't because it had broken down. A short circuit had blown the fuse inside the machine. Cicely then talked your wife into giving her a short story manuscript by saying she would give it to her editor, who might publish it in the newspaper. Mrs. Shaw, being an eager amateur, did so.
What has all this nonsense got to do with anything?
It gave me a sample of the print of your typewriter. The same typewriter you used to type out the list of stolen jewelry. Am I correct? Here, look at a page from Mrs. Shaw's manuscript and a photostat of the list of jewelry.
Yes. Yes, I can see that they were done on the same machine, Mortimer. But Mr. Shaw isn't denying it. Therefore, I don't see the point.
Mrs. Shaw, would you kindly tell Captain Fonsale when you blew the fuse on the typewriter?
On the 18th in the morning. I was halfway through.
And when was it repaired?
The man came this morning.
Now, you see the point. The burglary took place on the night of the 19th, which means, Mr. Shaw, that you typed that list before the jewelry was stolen.
Well, I can't argue with that. You should have been a policeman, Wiley.
I like it the way I am now, thank you.
Are you satisfied with Mr. Wiley's story, Mr. Shaw? Is it the truth?
Yes, yes, I can't fault it. I was in a jam. Margot's unfaithfulness was the last straw. I decided to disappear and punish Pearson at the same time. But by heaven, I wish I'd known earlier what they were planning.
Are you prepared to accompany me to town and make a statement?
Yes, why not?
Very well.
Just let me finish this cherry brandy. Good stuff, Wiley.
Yes, it is. I have it imported specially.
By the way, If you are planning to make an investment, try Newcop Mining. It's a good bet.
Thanks. I'll look into it. No hard feelings, then?
No. What's the point in harboring a grudge? I suppose I'll even end up reading your books in jail.
Are you ready?
Yes. Well, goodbye, all. Fabulous dinner, Wiley. I'll return the compliment when I get out.
I don't think Captain Finzer was so very pleased last night.
Well, was it? Why not? Got his man, didn't he?
If I know him, he's probably upset because you withheld evidence.
What evidence?
Well, the earring, for a start.
Oh, please, Cecily, don't give me problems so early in the morning.
It's nearly 11 o'clock, and I'm here to talk about my London trip. You'll have to brief me on one or two points.
Oh.
Here, I'll take it.
No, no, leave it to me. Perhaps it's something that will shock me into wakefulness. Morning. It's me himself.
Good morning, Mortimer. I thought I'd better let you know how things are.
What things?
About the robbery, of course.
Robbery? Well, what robbery?
Oh, no. Mortimer, please. Have you just rolled out of bed?
Oh, not so long ago. Is your chess set out on your desk? Cicely is here with me, and she flatly refuses to play. I want to show her I'm not totally reliant on her for a morning game.
Very well. If it'll help me get some sense out of you.
Oh, that's very kind of you, Dirk. Queen's pawn to queen three. Cicely, go and tell Esme to bring in a pot of coffee and a chunk of that delicious cheesecake.
You've been listening to A Case of Checkmate by Ron Evans, produced by Anne Freed and directed by Henry Diffenthal. Taking the part of Mortimer Wiley, you heard John Hayter, Margaret Milner-Smythe as Cecily Knight, Ivor Kissin as Roland, David Smith as Captain Dirk Van Zyl, Maureen Adair as Esme, Reg Richards as Mika, Harold Freed as Samuel Shaw, and Pamela Perry as Margot Shaw.